Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the ASN podcast. I am Andre Kachaturian. He's Jason Taktasian. This is my new ASN sweater, which will be on sale very soon on our page. You'll have a chance to purchase all sorts of ASN swag soon. But before we even think about selling equipment, Jason, you and I and we have a team now, I guess. Of six. Wow. We are very busy now, with so much that's been going on. I'm very excited to announce that we had live coverage, on the ground coverage in Armenia for the 2025 IIHF World Hockey Championships, presented by our sponsor, our great sponsor, Bonches Ice Cream. I think it's awesome. You have ice hockey with ice cream. It doesn't get better than that.
A
But yeah,
match made in
Jason,
heaven.
how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been very busy, not only in the sports front, but also in my life when it comes to general news at the station. Got some exciting stuff to announce later on. That's not the time right now because, like you said a little earlier, we got so much sports going
Yeah,
on right now.
lots been going on. I just moved to the hockey championships. It's also Palm Sunday. We are recording this on April 13th, Palm Sunday. Happy Tzach Kazart, Jason, to
Yes,
you.
thank you.
My wife and I just went to the church, the Armenian Holy Archangels Church in Haverhill, Massachusetts. It was a great time.
Nice.
I like Palm Sunday. They give the palms and then you make the little cross out of it.
Yeah, the cross out of it,
Yeah,
yeah.
very, very, fun event. But so we have all that life going on with myself as well. But we talked about the ice hockey tournament. This week was also the European Wrestling Championship, which we will lead the show off with that.
Yes.
We had a handful of Armenians competing in Bratislava, Slovakia, and
Yes.
not the best performance in the European Wrestling Championship. Last year, Armenia had four gold medals. This year, they completed the event with just one.
Yeah, just one, and they had a chance to also win four, but ended up with three silver medals, and the favorite to win a gold medal for Armenia, Artur Alexanyan. He's the biggest name really coming into it, and obviously he was making waves when it came to breaking a world record for this grip challenge that they were going around with the United World Wrestling Federation. And he doesn't even medal. He gets to the bronze medal match but has to forfeit because of injury. And that's just a really disappointing way and a deflating way for Armenia going into European Wrestling Championships, where Armenia usually is favored to get a lot of medals. And like you said, five total medals here, only one gold. It's just kind of not great. Don't know really what else to say there.
You talk about Alexanyan being the biggest name in wrestling. He's actually the biggest, according to our March Mayhem bracket on ASN that we had running in our Instagram story all month long. Artur Alexanyan defeated King Thertot as
That's
the
right.
greatest Armenian Olympian, voted by our followers on ASN. And but maybe he was got a little too excited about that. He probably doesn't even know he won, but
It doesn't know who we are, probably.
definitely looked something off with Artur Alexanyan. He looked like he was getting exhausted in that semifinal match, similar to the gold medal match in the Olympics, where he just really wasn't. He was not being really active. Seemed like something was wrong. Maybe he was tired. Maybe age was catching up to him. In this case, looks like he had an injury. Who knows what he had going on during the Olympics? Maybe he was hurt there too. But unfortunately, had to withdraw. The biggest name in Armenian wrestling, not getting a single medal. The only one who came out with a gold medal, though, was Malkha Samoyan. An incredible moment for him. He became a four-time European championship, defeating Ramaz Zoidze in the gold medal match in the 77-kilogram Greco-Roman division. Malkha brings home the gold, pride of Armenian wrestling right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, as much as there's a lot of negative for the European Wrestling Championships, there is a little bit of positive to highlight. And like you said, four-time champion now, Malkha Samoyan, he's doesn't seem like he's gonna be slowing down in that division anytime soon. So especially in the European end, it seems like he's gonna do something similar, possibly, to what Alexanyan had, where it was what, seven in a row where he had won? So
He had won
it's
seven in a row. He also won, I believe, 20 consecutive matches.
Yeah, up to
lost the European
2017.
since 2017. And you look at some of the guys who won silvers, Arsen Harutyunyan, Arman Andreasyan, and I'm missing one more, Garen Aslanyan.
Aslan.
As far as Andreasyan and Harutyunyan are concerned, these are guys who've won gold medals in the European stage. You're expected to win again. If you've won once, you've got to win again. And same with Vazgen Tevanyan. He's won a European championship as well. He got a bronze. But one guy I do want to highlight is Garen Aslanyan, who's never won a European gold before. He had his best finish in the European Championships. He's 29 years old, got the silver medal. He was in the gold medal match too. If there's any
Yeah.
bright spot, is hey, Garen Aslanyan set a personal mark for himself getting the silver. But when you have your rival Azerbaijan getting four golds, and you only have one, especially when you had four last year, that's a disappointing performance, I think.
Yeah, I would say so, especially countries like Hungary and Greece having more gold medals than Armenia. It's just not that great.
Yeah, for sure. Moving along, we have a lot to talk about, Jason. So we got to keep this train moving. Let's talk about some more bad news, I guess. The Armenian women's national team came into the nations, their two Nations League matches, with a lot of hype after winning the first two ones. They fell to Luxembourg and Kazakhstan in their third and fourth matches of the UEFA Nations League, falling to 2-2 in the standings now. They still have a chance to get promoted depending on how they fare in their fifth and sixth games, but definitely a step back. But is there any good takeaways that you have from those matches, Jason?
I mean, I would say that those matches were still competitive to a degree because what I had noticed for both of these games were that Armenia only had about three or four players on their bench. So something has must have happened as far as injuries were concerned because players like Mara Artin were missing, and notably so, they had held her jersey up before the Kazakhstan game in support of her because of some sort of injury that she's going through. But it seems like the rest of the team also had very little availability. So Armenia was already playing up against it, and the other teams that they were going up against were fresh. But also shout out to Narine Davitian, who had a hat, who had a brace actually
Yes.
against Kazakhstan. And one of those goals were a really nice a free kick that ended up in the top right-hand corner, and it was really really classy. So I'll just say, they still are competitive c despite being up against it, really.
I will say this. I mean, they were down 2-0 against Luxembourg, and then Karagezyan, she's been very active during this Nations League cycle. She scored to make it 2-1, and then they fell behind 3-1. And then they showed some really great fight against Kazakhstan on the road. They were down 2-0. And like you said, Davitian scored those two goals to even it up. And then they conceded one in the 71st minute and lost 3-2. But definitely much better results than we've seen from the Armenian women's national team in the past, where sometimes the game would just get really out of hand at 9-1, I believe one time we saw a score 9-0, and they would get shut out very often too. And this time we're seeing a lot of fight. Luxembourg on the road is going to be tough, but hopefully you can get a draw there, and then Liechtenstein should be a winnable game. So there's still a chance for them to either get promoted to League B or qualify for the promotional playoffs. So there's still a
Yeah.
lot to be happy about and hopeful about on that front.
For sure. They look like a team, and that's playing to their benefit, and that's something that even the men's team can take notes from.
Next game for Armenia, as I mentioned, is against Luxembourg, May 30th. So they got about a month and a half until then. And if you have time, go to our YouTube page. We have interviewed a couple of their players, Savannah Taylor and Jason. You spoke with
Mara Kazanjian.
Lara Kazanjian, who became the first Armenian woman to score a hat trick in a game. So those are two solid interviews that we did with some of their team. Exciting times for the Armenian women's national team, despite back-to-back losses. It's all about how you bounce back from this adversity, right, Jason?
That's true. That's true. That
Well,
goes for
then moving
everybody.
along to some interesting things that happened over the weekend over in Miami. We had our correspondent Ike Oganessian there to cover UFC 314. No, there were not any Armenians fighting, but there was a key lightweight matchup between Paddy Pimblett, Paddy the Batty Pimblett, and Michael Chandler. Paddy Pimblett defeated Michael Chandler in the third round via knockout. It was an exciting fight, kind of back and forth. And then you kind of expect that with these two guys, especially Chandler's a knockout artist and Pimblett, undefeated in the UFC, won the match. And prior to the fight, he had a war of words with Armand Sarukyan. On the podcast, he went out and basically said that Armand Sarukyan's been is only there where he is because he's been fed with the silver spoon. He has a rich dad, and
Posh boy.
called him posh boy and some other inappropriate names. Armand Sarukyan fired back and said, called Paddy Pimblett a guy who has a what a cheap Beatles haircut or a budget Beatles haircut. And they sparked some words, and then our own Ike Oganessian asked Pimblett if he had heard those words from Armand Sarukyan, and here's what he said.
Yeah, seeing his response, it settled me. It made me laugh. It's just being honest, you know what I mean? I'm just brutally honest. I can't lie. Someone got asked about someone, I'm gonna be honest. I seen him saying in an interview the other week that I don't watch anybody not in the top five. I won't watch Chandler and Pimblett. Well, what are you tweeting me for then? You know what I mean? If you weren't concerned about people who aren't in the top five, you wouldn't be tweeting me when I've said something about you. Like, people who say stuff about me, what are beneath me, I don't mention it, I just leave them to it. But you know, I must be in his head. It's not my fault he shares his pants.
So yeah, I don't think Patty and Armand are going to be exchanging Christmas presents, Jason. And after Patty Pimblett defeated Michael Chandler and went to the octagon, very interesting quote here, Jason. Listen to what he said. Well, we can't play the sound because we don't have rights from the UFC, but I'll read it to you. He said, "I respect Dustin, as in Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, and Charles Oliveira." But then he said, "Bleep Armand, he's a little helmet. Bleep that sausage." It's interesting how he said he respected Dustin, Justin, Charles, but does not respect Armand. I feel like he really wants that more than the other fights, don't you? That's what I got from it.
That's what it seems like, and it seems like right now Armand needs to take whatever fight he can get, and Paddy the Batty Pimblett seems to be the hottest thing right now in the division.
Yes. Kind of a dangerous option for Armand, I think.
It is because of how good he is as well. As much as there's a lot of hype and speculation and talk, I mean, he's backing it up with these results. Obviously, there's been some controversial results for him, but the fact of the matter is he just did this to Iron Michael Chandler. So I don't know. If I'm Armand, I want to take the fight, but you got to take it seriously. You can't just, you know, brush him off and think, oh, it's just going to be one of those easy fights and then try to go to a decision with Paddy the Batty. I don't think Armand can do that.
I think Armand needs to avoid Paddy the Batty as much as possible. Armand is 20. Armand is younger than Paddy by 2 years. He's 28. Paddy is 30. But everybody else in that division is kind of on the older side. I believe, I think in like the top 10 or something, Armand and Paddy are the only ones that are under 35. That could be wrong. But if that's the, they are the two, one of the two younger ones. But if I'm Armand, I'm 28 years old. Why not take an older guy? Like, I guess Islam is 33. Charles is 35. Gaethje is 36. Max Holloway's been around forever. He's 33. That surprised me. I thought Holloway would be older than that. Poirier is 36. Dan Hooker, he's 35. You see where I'm getting at here. These are all older guys,
yeah.
Over 33. So I guess Armand and Patty are the only ones that are 30 and younger. So I wouldn't want to take a younger guy like that and who's up and coming in the UFC, undefeated in the UFC. It seems like a very easy way for Armand to lose that number one contender spot. And then what?
Right, because what does he gain out of losing a fight to Paddy the Batty after all this sort of back? Like, right. That's the mentality here, right?
And
but
also,
I guess
they're both young enough where these two will probably meet at some point in the next 5 to 7 years. I mean, these
right?
Guys,
because you could look at it from a different perspective of okay, let's say Armand knocks out Paddy the Batty, is that enough to be like, oh, I put him back in the title shot for Islam? Some people could argue that he doesn't need to do that already.
Correct.
So.
But for Patty, it's if he does that, then he's automatically getting that title shot. So it
Yeah,
makes a lot
he
of sense.
catapults. Yeah. Yeah, he's playing the game. He's playing the game for sure. It'd
And
be a
there's
fun fight from a neutral standpoint. From a neutral standpoint, completely, that would be a lot of fun to watch. But yeah, like you said, from Arman's perspective, I think there's other things that he needs to focus on right now.
Yeah, and yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens in this division. There's a lot of older guys. So if you really think
Yeah.
about it, in if I'm Arman, why rush a fight? Let Islam do his thing. There are talks that he might retire after the next couple after one more a couple more defenses. If he retires, then there's a vacant spot, then fight for the belt. You avoid Islam that way. If the goal is ultimately to be the champion, then it doesn't matter when you're the champion, right? If Islam retires and you're 30, 31 years old, still in this contender spot. So I think this is what Arman is looking at and thinking. He's playing the long game here. He knows he's the youngest one from all these guys. He's only 28 years old. And a lot of these guys are older, and they're going to be fading away in the division. In 3 to 5 years, Armand's only going to be 31, 32, 33 years old. Meanwhile, all of these guys I named, like Gaethje, Holloway, Poirier, Hooker, Chandler, Islam, Charles Oliveira, they're going to be in their late 30s, possibly retired or irrelevant in the division. So I don't mind Armand waiting around and, just making your sponsorship money, chilling, making your appearances, and playing the long game.
I mean, it's interesting you say that almost 3 months on the dot after Arman pulled out of the fight with Islam, because, it's been that much time now that he's been off and, rehabbing and also getting back into the gym. And like you said, it seems like that's what he's doing. He's taking his time and not rushing because, considering the injury he had, it's not like he broke a bone and it's not like he tore something per se. He could have kind of rushed it and tried to get back into the octagon and stay fit and active, but we don't even know who he's fighting next, and usually those announcements happen with some time in between, right?
Sounds like he doesn't want to, or maybe he's not ready, and I don't blame him. Take your time, see how the
Yeah.
division plays out, see who Islam fights next, see what his decision is. Maybe he retires and you don't even have to face Islam. Will you get
Even see what
criticism for it?
Topuria does.
Huh?
Even see what Topuria does now that he's going up to lightweight.
Yeah, exactly. That's another option as well.
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on that, obviously,
Yeah.
as the months go by. And now let's go to Yerevan, where the Armenian men's national hockey team is back in action. And what a moment they had defeating Malaysia today, 24-3, today, Sunday, April 13. 24-3, Armenia defeated Malaysia in their first official IIHF game since 2010, in their return to IIHF play. A triumphant return, dominating victory. The Kuznetsovs combined for 9 goals in the game. And you had also Tigran Manukyan score 5 goals and 4 assists. You made an interesting point, Jason, when I was talking to you before the show. You asked, is there even ice in Malaysia? I don't know. Is there?
I don't think there is. But I mean, that's kind of how it looked, right? You got to play your opponent at the end of the day. But Armenia, they haven't played for 15 years in an official, competition or game. And now they're here playing against a team that is ranked. Armenia is not even ranked. Uzbekistan isn't ranked yet, but Malaysia is. And 24-3, 8 goals for every 1 goal that they scored. And, some of those goals are just silly. But it was also great to see from a fan's perspective because, like we said earlier in the podcast, we do have on the ground coverage there, and we got to see just kind of the fan experience there. And if you're going for the first time and your hockey experience is 24 goals, I mean, how do you not fall in love with that sport?
Yeah, it was tied for the biggest victory in Armenian hockey history, Jason. 24-3. They also beat Georgia 22-1 in 2010, also in Yerevan, on April 12, 2010. So nearly 15 years to the day, Armenia gets another 21 goal victory, 24-3. So pretty impressive. But that was a there's a long road for this Armenian national hockey. A lot to be excited about, but this their upcoming they have some upcoming matches that are going to be tough. Iran is a tough opponent. Indonesia played Iran tough. Uzbekistan beat Kuwait 13-3. These are going to be tougher opponents for Armenia. And I'm interested to see how they fare. If are they good enough to potentially get finish first and be promoted to Division Three? I don't know. We'll see. But so far, a good start for the Armenian national hockey team. We're going to be covering, again, like we said, we have Allison Tamizian News, a veteran reporter, covering the event for us. And she's been telling us how excited all the fans are witnessing this in person. So, the growth of Armenian team sports continues. We've got the futsal team doing big things, making the Euros. That'll be next summer. The hockey team is back, playing well, Jason. The lacrosse team has been established, and the women's national soccer team is doing well, and so a lot to be excited about. And one more thing we should touch on is the European weightlifting championship, which began today, but Armenians begin tomorrow, and they have a team of 21 weightlifters going to Moldova to try to win gold medals for their Hayrenik. Big names will be participating in this tournament, including guys like Gorsa Hakyan, Varazat Lalayan, Simon Martirosyan, Garik Karapetyan. These guys have all been Olympians before. And on the women's side, you got big names like Alexandra Grigorian, one of the top names. She's only, 20 years old? And she's been making headlines in junior competitions. So
that's right. And she recently got named the best young women's weightlifter in 2024 for Europe. So she had just gotten that announced maybe like a day or two prior to this recording. So big things.
That's huge. It's going to be fun to watch her. She competes Monday. Isabella Yalyan, another Olympian. These are big names. So it's going to be interesting to see how Armenia fares. Just for reference, last year in the European weightlifting, we talked about how in the wrestling, they had won 4 golds last year. Last year in the weightlifting, Armenia led the way, had the most medals and gold medals. 4 gold medals, 10 total medals. That was number one. So if you want to replicate that, I can't wait to see if they can replicate that. One thing's for sure, Varazat Lalayan will have a little bit less competition to worry about now that heavyweight weightlifting great Lasha Talakadze has retired and is trying to be a politician now in Georgia.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, like you said, Lalayan's time to shine technically on his own starts here, right?
Well, it's gonna be last year, Talakadze skipped out on the European Weightlifting Championships to prepare for the Olympics. So Lalayan did win gold in the Euros, but it's his competition to lose now. He has no excuse. You can't blame it on Lasha anymore.
Right.
And I'm very excited to see how these women do. Alexandra Grigorian, she won gold in the 55 kilogram last year. So she'll try to defend that this year. Who else won gold last year? Varazdat won gold. Hakob Mkrtchyan, he won gold in 896 kilogram, and Gorsa Hakyan also won. Mkrtchyan will not be in this year's tournament. But we all renamed who are the favorites. So,
yeah. I mean, the three names.
Yeah. Hopefully, we're going to match that. What I want to see, Jason, is a week from now when this tournament is over, that video popping up on Armen Press where all the Armenian weightlifters return to Zhovarnots with fanfare and music, dancing and flowers, and they get honored. Wouldn't you want that to happen to you when you go to
All hearts, like everything. Yes, absolutely. Like I want to see that. I want to see it for all these athletes.
Do you want to see it happen to you?
Oh, to me? I mean, I wish it upon everybody, I wish it upon everybody because it's a great experience. What can I say?
I want it. The next time you go to Armenia, I want them to honor you that way because you deserve it. You're a great Armenian. You're starting this new show about Armenian businesses, correct?
Well, I'm going to be basically talking to Armenians in the Central Valley in California and even outside of California that interest me and people who influence the Armenian community. It's going to be called The Talk Show with Jason Takhtajian
Wow.
on the KC24 CBS 47 Plus app, streaming on smart TVs if you have a Roku or a Fire Stick. But obviously, I'll also have those on social media as well. I'll have a social media page. You'll see it all promoted and everything. But yeah, that's happening at the station. On top of being a nightside reporter and on top of everything else, I'm starting my own talk show. And the first guest is going to be Stephanie Baroujian. She was a broadcaster, she was a reporter and anchor for KC24, the station that I'm working for now, for 42 years. You know, and I
Wow.
think the Armenian community needs to know more about her for sure.
That's fantastic, Jason. I wish you the best in all that. I hopefully you have time to continue to work for ASN after you're doing all these big
Yes,
projects.
absolutely, absolutely. I'm still here.
So, Jason, did we miss anything? I feel like we missed something
You
important.
know, I will say that we did a premature goodbye because we did
No.
indeed miss something. The
Yes.
European the FIG World Cup.
Yes.
We
I
had
knew I
some
missed
Armenian
something.
gymnasts.
I'm telling you, it was such a busy week.
Yeah.
I've been behind, I'm still behind, but yes, the FIG World Cup
Dude.
in Croatia.
Messi, even you can even talk about Lionel Messi sharing the Tummo Center on his Instagram page. But obviously, we got more important athletes to talk about. Like you said, it's been very busy.
Yes, Lionel Messi also defeating LAFC, Armenian-owned team, in the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
That
But
too.
anyway, FIG World Cup, let's quickly talk about that. Artur Davutyan, a disappointing finish in the vault competition, getting the bronze. He's usually a shoo-in to get the gold in that. He was number one in the qualification, finished third overall. His score was lower than what he usually gets. So hopefully he can write that in the next edition of the FIG World Cup, which will
Yeah.
be, I guess, in a couple of weeks. It's like every other week. But what I want to talk about is a 17-year-old teenager who stole the show in Croatia, Hamlet Manukyan. It's his first time competing in the senior circuit of the FIG World Cup, and he came out and dominated an unbelievable performance. If you haven't seen it, go on our page and watch it. Incredible routine, won the gold medal, and he's only 17 years old, Jason. You know what that means? He's going to be in his prime in 2028 when the Olympics come to Los Angeles.
Yeah, and he's going to be around for quite a bit of time as well. That's what that also means. That means that this guy's going to be competing. He's going to be almost kind of carrying the torch for Armenian gymnasts and being kind of the lead of the next generation of athletes. I mean, you had also Arthur Avetisyan, who also got a bronze medal in the rings final.
That was really good to
You know,
see.
also getting a medal. But you know, Hamlet Manukyan, like you said, he's the talk of the town for the gymnastics scene. And it's funny, I was joking about it a little bit earlier. He's essentially the Lamine Yamal for Armenia at this point because he's also a 17-year-old sensational talent in the world of athletics.
Yeah.
And it's not often that we hear about, you know, talented, you know, athletes who are getting gold medals at that age. Typically, those are the ones who, you know, we reserve for saying, yeah, they're going to be the next special ones. So Hamlet Manukyan might be next.
I hope to see that. The next FIG World Cup event in the series is actually this coming weekend in Doha. So the busyness continues, Jason. And the following week will be the final event of the series in Cairo. So busy time for these gymnasts, and we'll see how they do in Doha and Cairo in the next coming weeks. We'll see how the hockey team does this week. Hopefully they can advance to Division Three, and of course the weightlifting team bring home some golds. So it's a big month, very important month in Armenian sports. We haven't been this busy, Jason, since the Olympics.
Yeah, it hasn't been this busy since then. And you know what? It also feels nice, but also it just goes to show when you think about it just how much Armenian sports is growing and how much, you know, we pay attention to it and give attention to it to show people that, you know, we might be a small country, but we got a lot going on.
Yeah, we have a lot going on, and I want to give a special thank you to several people before we wrap up. First of all, we already talked about Alison Tamizian in Armenia covering the hockey tournament for us, Ike Oganessian in Miami covering UFC 314 for us, and of course, our two interns who have been working really hard, Alex Shirvanian in Los Angeles and Kyle Padegian in Boston. Fantastic futures for both of those guys. really helping us out at ASN, helping our growth. And of course, our sponsors, Nelson Gevorkian Esquire, your favorite attorney. He sponsored our wrestling coverage, and he sponsored basically everything else throughout the last couple of years. So big thank you to him. And of course, Bonch's Ice Cream, who's sponsoring our hockey tournament. So thank you to our sponsors, and thank you to you for listening to us. Thank you, Jason, for joining me on this Palm Sunday. And we'll see you next week. We'll wrap up this busy week that's coming up.